Shop OmahaSteaks.com. Give Dad the legendary Heartland quality he deserves for Father's Day. Plus, our listeners get $35 off with the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. When it comes to Father's Day, some things never change. Dads want steak. Yes, yes, I do. A recent survey shows 75% of Americans agree there's no better way to spend Father's Day than grilling with the family. I agree. I love nothing more than hanging out with the fam, going to the pool, drinking, and having some great meats. Omaha Steaks is the best in the biz. Also love their burgers as well. Talked about those a couple weeks ago on here with the burgers. Those smash burgers, man, they're phenomenal. They're pre-packaged, pre-smashed, all that other stuff. And I know you're saying to yourself, well, what's the difference? It's just a patty or whatever. It's not. They're caramelized and seared and all that other fun stuff there. And it literally goes from freezer to bun in 5 minutes. And that's the truth. Anybody out there who's got kids who tear through these things and then you want to make them real quickly and everything else, my wife was able to dial these in and rip through a whole package of, I think it was 16 free is what we got in the last box.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, they're phenomenal. Omaha Steaks has been America's original butcher since 1917, family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. They also carry mouth-watering burgers, chicken, pork, seafood, desserts, and easy-to-prepare comfort food. This Father's Day, give Dad the world's best steak experience with Omaha Steaks. Visit OmahaSteaks.com for guaranteed perfect gifts that deliver legendary quality, and for an extra $35 off, use promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. That's OmahaSteaks.com, and you're going to get an extra $35 off with the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. Head on over to that site, man. You can get lost in there, by the way. Bob, is that it up there?
Yeah.
What else do they have? I ordered burgers and steak last time.
I'm messing around with their seafood section here. They got lobster, shrimp, freaking crab.
Do they really?
Yeah, dude.
I haven't ordered that. I haven't ordered that yet. All right.
King crab legs, jumbo lump crab meat if you don't feel like cracking it open.
Yeah, let's go. Okay. I was unaware of that game.
Look at these thick puppies.
Yeah. I was just a steak boy and everything else. I didn't want to say, hey, wife, cook me a lobster for dinner, like Henry VIII or something like that. But I will now. Shit, if they can just drop it off at the house, that'd be great. I didn't want to go to the fucking grocery store and get it, which is exactly what Omaha Steaks does. They just drop it off right at your doorstep.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase plus a free 4-year warranty. That's tonal.com for $500 off plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. Fake news. I can't see what's going on over there, D'Anthony. Explain it to me. What is happening? Am I looking at you or are you looking at my person? Am I a hologram on YouTube right
definitely
now?
Not a hologram, but you're so what I see is, well, you're on a monitor in front of me, obviously, but also to my right. We have a monitor where you would normally be sitting. Unfortunately, we couldn't find a piece of shit-shaped television
sure.
to broadcast your piece of shit ass on, but, I mean, this is the best we're going to be able to do. There's some kind of green hue. I think it's maybe all the green. There's a lot of green, like a taupe-style green over there. It's very calming, but for some reason it's making me angry. Like, I know there's some psychological principle where that color is calming to other people, but it's making me want to tear the fucking TV in half. So it's probably working the way it's supposed to, right?
I'm near the water, that's why.
Yeah, man.
He's talking about the desk, Jesse.
It looks fine. I'm just fucking with you. But that is,
I look like a little lady.
Yeah, that is supposed to be like, if you go into an insane asylum, it's that color to keep people calm. But again, when I get all tuned up and I need to calm down, I turn on death metal and I go driving and start getting road rage to calm myself down. You know what I mean? So I'm not the best example, rather, of whatever the fuck people are supposed to act like. I'm a piece of shit.
It's funny. Jesse's behind the camera right now, and she's like, do you look too green? Is it too green? No, he's discussing the colors on the wall and the desk.
Yeah, Jesse,
very calming.
At what point has my bitching been something to pay any attention to? Usually you just tell me to shut the fuck up. So I don't know why all of a sudden it's a thing now. By the way, I don't know if you could see it on camera, but I had a phlebotomist come in to take do some blood work for food allergies and shit earlier. And she ruined my arm. There's like a dime size bruise already on this thing. She's just like jabbing and poking. She's like, oh, your veins are really puffy, but I can't get in there. I'm like, well, that seems like maybe that's your problem.
Yeah, that's a you problem, not an us problem. So let me ask you, because, you know, it seems like you had a minor case of hay fever once we got to Texas. A lot of sniffling, sneezing. Did they tell you it was some type of food allergy or allergy itself?
Well, I haven't gotten the results back yet, but I mean, that was cedar fever. That's very common here in South Texas, particularly in Austin. It's
right.
It's like a histamine allergy to cedar, and it feels like the flu, but there's no fever or anything like that. So I don't know why they call it cedar fever. There's no fever. You just get get the body aches and the bullshit in your nose and everything. It fucking sucks.
Yeah, because people were asking, is like, Dan, is Dan doing heavy cocaine? I was like, no, he's not doing any. I've never seen Dan do cocaine in my life. Or cocaine,
yeah,
as the kids call it. It is. It's definitely different there. I know at night in Texas, I get a little stuffed up myself and I can't figure out why. If you have a food allergy to like peanuts or something, let us know and I'll jab you with an EpiPen.
Yeah, speaking of that, all the modern research now shows that this alarmist bullshit about allergies to peanuts and not exposing children to peanuts at a young age have now increased the rate and severity of peanut allergies in society. So the lesson there, I suppose, is that being a pussy does not pay off, right? Hiding inside of your house from a fucking virus with a 99.8% survivability rate doesn't pay off.
Weird, right? One would have thought all of the – believe the science, Dan. Believe the science is what we're all doing here today. Mm. Speaking of which, dude, it's my birthday, Dan, so believe the science. You know?
I don't know what that means.
I'm a baby. I was a baby, and now I'm a man. And that's science, Dan.
Now
that's
you're in your mid 60s at this point?
Turned 33 today, Dan. No. I have the same birthday as
Jesus,
my personal hero, Ric Flair, and another one of my heroes, Carrot Top. So pretty amped about that.
Carrot Top was in a friend of mine's DMs recently, by the way. And so
was
Pauly Shore, by the way.
Jesse, that's great. So Jesse just dipped out to go and buy the phone. We did something on Ross Patterson Revolution this morning where, now that I'm rich, obviously with the gold Timex watch, that was $36 from Amazon. And then all of my stonks success, I said I needed that flip phone. I needed that Razer flip phone, and a bunch of people donated to get me a Razer flip phone, which I will now be using to call my broker. So that's all I'm going to do is call my broker long distance on my flip phone with my gold watch now.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
So she went to go get it. That Razer phone from Motorola is back, and that is real. I haven't seen it in real life.
Isn't it still like $1,500 like the iPhone?
No. So we looked it up live on air and they've dropped it like $400. Oh, so it's like a grand or something. It's not good either. That means either they're not selling a lot or people just aren't into flip phones as I am.
I mean, if you're going to get a flip phone, get a clamshell, go full on like non-smartphone style. If you're going to go do it. I mean, what's the point of getting a fucking normal flip phone?
I don't know that I can. I don't know that they have those anymore. Because I was there was a place in LA called J&J Beepers. I was going to get a beeper also. Jesse wanted a car phone, one of the old phone, the ones that's looks like a rotary phone.
Yeah,
but inside your vehicle. And so I think we're going to do all that stuff. Is what we're going to do. But she went to go get the flip phone, so I should have that for tomorrow's episode. One would imagine.
Word. Well, I mean, good luck.
You're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome. GameStop is through the roof. AMC is absolutely destroying, and it's going to be a good day unless you are a baby in New York. We don't often start with the get fucked of the week, but you wanted to do this, Dan.
Yeah, Bob, you have that show with us. You've got that link, that CBS local link, right? Can you pull that up and put it on the screen with the lady's face? Well, I mean, it's she's wearing a mask, obviously. Ross, we're going to take you off the screen for just a second here, but
oh, that's fine.
It's basically
it's my birthday, but let's show this lady.
Yeah, well, I mean, this one's important and you're not. So we're going to lead off with the get fucked of the week, which is not what we normally do, but I wanted to get this out of the way early. As much shit as I talk about kids, there can be no tolerance in our society for the abuse of children. This woman, where we're about to see her picture, it's if you scroll down, it's a little like halfway down. There you go. Right not up right there. Let's try to blow that up a little bit. Currently unidentified person punched a two-year-old in the face several times and ran away. According to the mom, the assailant was panhandling, so probably a drugged out shitbag. The real problem isn't just, and I want to address this, the real problem isn't just that the woman is crazy on drugs and punched a baby in the face, but according to the mother, literally no one came to her defense, the mother's defense or the child's defense. I don't give a fuck who's doing violence to the innocent. If you're not the kind of person who stands up and stops it, particularly when it's against children, you don't deserve to live in this country, and you don't deserve to live on this earth either. So take a close look at this piece of shit right here. And if you're in the New York area and you might know who that is, let the fucking police know so they can bury her somewhere. Or him. I don't know what the fuck that is, to be honest. Either way.
Yeah, I mean, this story, when you sent it to me, man, was so shocking that I was trying to think of, you know, because look, man, I have a two-year-old.
Yeah.
They're so innocent. They have no idea what's going on. To do something like this to a two-year-old is unfathomable. The only other time I could think of something like this happening was, do you remember a couple years ago when that Mall of America, somebody threw a baby off the you know, the floor or whatever it was? I mean, the kid lived, luckily, but like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I'm with you. Just end this person's life, if it's a him or her, right there in the street, and let's move on with our fucking day.
Yeah, I mean, there can be no tolerance for that bullshit, but there could also be no tolerance for the kind of people, like this bystander effect bullshit. I understand it is a psychological phenomenon. If you look up Kitty Genovese, you can read the psychological studies on it that were done back in the mid-20th century, but... Don't be that kind of person. Don't be the kind of person that is sitting down while a pregnant woman is standing up on public transportation. Don't be the kind of person that lets other people get abused while you have the power to stop it and do nothing, because you are a fucking piece of shit if you allow that.
Yeah, it's crazy to me, and I know I've told this story in the past. I'm not sure which show it was on or if I was on another, but there was a class that I took at Ohio State where I would say there was 300 or 400 people in this class, like one of the big halls, right? And in the middle of the class, a boyfriend started screaming at her girlfriend. It escalated. It got louder and louder and louder. The professor said, please go out into the hallway. And what I thought that everybody heard was her being slapped over and over again out in the hallway. Three of us got up and ran out into the hallway, and the guy was like, dude, please don't fucking do this. This is all a setup. This is all part of the class. And when we walked back in, it was the exact study that you were talking about, Dan.
Yeah.
And she said, only three of you got up to do something in this class, knowing full well that everyone saw a woman and her boyfriend screaming at each other, and then violent slaps, you know, in the hallway itself was all you could hear. And he was clapping two books together is what he was doing.
Right.
And only three people got up. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And then the professor asked, why everybody else didn't do anything. And it was like you said, there's a lot of people that live in fear. I think a lot of people also just choose to look the other way these days, where they're just like, man, I don't want to get involved.
I mean, there's a good Papa G actually just wrote about it here in the fucking YouTube comments, but there's a good soliloquy in Boondock Saints about this shit. Like, what we should fear most isn't evil men, because the collective will of good people can defeat evil pretty easily. And we've seen that throughout time. I mean, the most evil thing most of us can ever remember is national socialism and the collective will of the people relatively easily, once everybody got involved, stamped that shit out within a matter of years. Now, there's lingering effects and stuff like that, but the main threat was annihilated pretty quickly, so much so that the leadership even killed themselves, right? What we should fear most is the indifference of good men. That's what they said in Boondock Saints, and I believe that. You cannot, if you want to fucking live in a world that is safe, that where you can prosper and be successful, part of that social contract is that you take care of other people, right? And if you're not willing to do that, then move to fucking Somalia. You know what I mean? Move there with no rules and fucking everybody. I mean, that if that's your libertarian fucking wet dream, you can just do whatever you want and there's no taxes and blah, blah, blah. Go live there, motherfucker. All right. I don't want to hear about this shit about not getting involved in other people's lives and blah, blah, blah. Man, look, if that's the way you want to live your life, then do it. Right. But yeah. At some point, whomever's doing the violence is going to come do it to you, too.
I agree. And like, you know, I wasn't telling that story of like, oh, Ross was a fucking hero and jumped up. Not at all. I think there is people who are inherently born with something of like, all right, I'm going to do something. But it also works the other way. And I remember the professor saying, you know, as she was chiding the other people, she goes, all right, so the three people that actually did got up and do something, what would you have done if he had a gun or this or that or whatever? And you know, to try to consider the ramifications of all the actions, right? Mm-hmm. And it always comes down to the same thing is, you know, well, is that in you? And why did you do it? Was it instinct or whatever? And then given the choice of what you know now, would you do it again? And the answer is usually always yes. There's only a couple times where I've looked back on my life and regretted like, oh, shit, so-and-so could have had a knife and, you know, stabbed me or whatever the fuck it was where, you know, where I was or something like that. But, you know, I think you have to inherently want to help other people, or you live in fucking fear and then you just watch and videotape and that's it, right?
I mean, Shakespeare wrote that a coward dies 1,000 times before his death, but the valiant tastes death but once. And I believe that. If I get stabbed or shot or whatever, trying to do the right thing, then I can live or die with that. But I can't live or die with watching innocent or weak people be abused by the strong and evil. I'm not going to do it. And if you shouldn't do it either, honestly, that's the only reason I brought this up. It's not honestly, stuff like this probably happens all the time. But it's not the crazy lady acting crazy in public. It is the fact that no one was willing to help this fucking 21-year-old mother with her 2-year-old child. That is unacceptable in this fucking country. It's unacceptable anywhere in the world, but it's certainly goddamn unacceptable here, where we talk all the time about how we're the best country in the world. We don't lead the world in shit. The only thing we lead the world in is saying we're the best, right? I like, if you watched yesterday's episode with Freddie Wong, he said he wanted to explore a new kind of patriotism where our patriotism's wrapped up in us trying to actually be the best at things. And I think that's an important way to fucking look at life.
I did too. Freddie Wong's a great dude, by the way. He's been on the show many times. Every time he comes on, it's a blast. And he just drops fucking truth bombs all the time.
Yeah.
Big fan. We wanted to show that picture. If anybody knows who that is, obviously out them or just go ahead and execute him. We won't say anything. Wink. That type of shit shouldn't be tolerated. Next up, Al Jazeera is starting a conservative new news outlet. Al Jazeera, the Qatar-based news network that has previously sought to become a liberal media force in the U.S., is launching a platform to target conservatives. It was revealed on Tuesday. The new effort, called Rightly, will target Republicans who feel left out of the mainstream media, Politico has reported, and will be led by a former Fox News journalist. Politico also said that Scott Norville is the Fox News staffer. He'll be the editor-in-chief of Rightly, which will launch
Its first conservative focus show on Thursday. Look, we've said this on the show a million times. I always thought somebody was going to rise from the ashes and do something, right? I didn't know if it was Newsmax. Fox News seems to be getting out of the far right business for whatever reason. And, you know, a bunch of people from the right had turned on them, right, about 6 months before the election. And I didn't know who it was going to be. I figure it would be foreign. And before, you know, Democrats start jumping all over Republicans for Al Jazeera, let's not forget it was Al Gore that sold to Al Jazeera as well back in the day. He had a network as well. My question to you, Dan, is this. Is this going to be on television, or where is this going to be? Is this a news outlet, or is this a television media outlet?
I mean, it, so far as I can tell, it looks like it's going to be a television outlet as well. But it could be it's going to be broadcast somewhere as a news channel and as a website. So it'll be just like any other cable news situation. By the way, for those of you that don't know, Al Jazeera's parent company, Al Jazeera Media, is owned by the goddamn Qatari government. The Qatari government that continues to criminalize being gay, basically. They continue to they have situations the same, not exactly the same, but similar to the Uyghur situation in China. Women cannot get divorced unless the husband allows it. There's all kinds of stupid, fucked up bullshit. I mean, it's a Middle Eastern country. You should expect this goddamn stupid shit from them.
Using slaves to build their World Cup stadiums.
Yeah, like literal slaves, right? And that's a problem not only in Qatar but in Kuwait as well. Any of the wealthy Arab nations, they use Indo-Chinese indentured servitude to do everything there because the locals don't work. They just get stipends from the government based on oil revenue. This is insane to me. So. You want to talk about Russia or somebody else or China getting involved in media in this country to sway elections or fucking push misinformation? This is not even, they're not even trying to hide this shit anymore. By the way, the guy from formerly of Fox News, Scott Norvell, he's going to be their editor in chief of Rightly. He was formerly a staff member at Heat Street, a news website that was launched by News Corp and was shut down because it was swinging too far to the right, and Norvell was at the lead of that. Norvell played a part in transitioning Heat Street from libertarian, youth-oriented site to pro-Trump, like Breitbart-style bullshit. here's what I have to say about it. Conservatives are constantly complaining, and rightly so, about all this intersectionality bullshit that's going on and the fucking the intersectionality that's going on. They engage in it just as much as everybody else. Every time there's any kind of censorship in fucking media against the right, their idea is that we should go start a conservative news network. No, motherfucker. News is news. There's no such thing as right news or left news. There's no such thing as Republican math. There's no such thing as liberal science. There's no such thing as fucking any of this stuff. It doesn't exist. Information is information. You've missed the point. The point wasn't to have both sides represented. The point was that there's only one side, and that is America. So nice job, assholes. You've done it again. You did it with Parler. Anytime this stuff comes up, it seems like there's some kind of fucking, like they're fucking some hero for like, oh, we're going to get everybody represented now. No, you're not. You're just going to box out the other side and make it even worse.
Well, here's the problem with all this, and I understand why they're doing it. Because, look, most of the media is left. However, there's nothing in the middle, man. It used to be CNN back in the day. It is obviously no longer whatsoever. I guess Headline News would be the most middle of the road organization, but MSNBC is left. Fox is right. You have to choose a side to get ratings these days and get commercials and ad revenue and all that stuff. I understand from a financial standpoint why they do it. I also understand that the right doesn't feel like they're properly represented in the media. Therefore, they're looking for other alternatives. Shutting down Parler, when we talked about this a couple months ago, was the wrong move, because then you're saying, hey, man, even if you want to have a right network, because I, you know, or a right social media app, because I think Twitter's left, that's bad, that's wrong. We're all of us, you know, on the left are going to get together in big tech and then shut you down. Of course, this was going to be the next step. If you can't get this done in America, then yes, they were going to go outside the country. I heard Parler's backend servers, you know, for their new opening that they're getting ready to launch, are from overseas as well. Now, I'm with you, Dan. I think it should be illegal. I thought back in the day it should be illegal for China to own any form of Hollywood, any fucking movie studio, any of that shit, simply because you could put your influence into mainstream movies and get away with whatever agenda you wanted to because you're China. And that's the simple reason. And they're even doing it to things like Top Gun 2.
Yeah.
And I know you and I talked about this last year, but they changed the patches on the back of Tom Cruise's, you know, infamous bomber jacket.
Yeah, they took the Taiwanese flag off because they don't want to admit that exists. Or the,
correct.
Was it Taiwanese or Hong Kong flag or some shit?
Both. Yeah. Both, I believe. And then, you know, Hong Kong's got that massive uprising that's going on now, obviously, against China. And God forbid we piss off the Chinese for all of our American white movie stars like Tom Cruise so that they can enjoy their communism and peace without having any countries near theirs try to have some form of organized protesting. But all of this shit should be illegal, and it's not. So then you go to Al Jazeera. And again, Al Gore did this first. And then he ended up selling it for a truck ton of money. Now the right is going to do it. If there isn't balance here in this country of media, since they're all going one way or the other, this is going to continue to happen, and we're fucked, because you're right, Dan. Once a fucking Al Jazeera starts putting news out there and paying these people millions and millions of dollars, that means they also have the right to say, hey, man, why don't you kill that story?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to talk about that.
Why does anybody think that the Qatari government is going to be open and honest about things? And we're going to get to another story later on about Middle Eastern governments and how they handle things. It is absolute fucking nonsense. And to think that the solution to combating safetyism and intersectional bullshit is more of it is fucking stupid. I mean, what other disease do you give yourself more of the disease to cure yourself? It doesn't make any goddamn sense to me. And look, if that's the world you guys want to live in, if you want to have somebody on camera saying exactly what you want to hear all the time, then you're a fucking idiot, frankly. And I have no respect for you. Anybody that's standing up for this bullshit or the fucking Parler guys who are clearly boxing people out and intentionally going as far right as fucking possible, fuck you.
Well, the interesting part about Parler was, you know, that guy was down the middle and had pleaded with everyone of, please, man, when conservatives were taking over Parler, he pleaded with everyone and was just like, dude, this is for everybody, man. Right, left, yeah. I don't give a shit. It is a social media outlet. It was too late, man. The right had nowhere to go and they took it over.
The narrative now coming out of the Bongino et al. Camp is that, oh, he was trying to fucking censor and blah, 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 so we had to get rid of him and blah. That's what I'm hearing from, like, people DM me, some fans of the show DM me and shit. Like, get fucked with that shit. Dan Bongino is a fucking knucklehead. He's a far-right retard that has absolutely no goddamn business speaking in public ever. He's a failed politician. People have decided, right? The people that know him best have decided that he doesn't belong on the stage, all right? The same thing that the fucking Democratic voters did to Kamala Harris. And you saw the crazy uprising that happened when she got nominated for VP. And it's like, what the fuck? We got rid of this woman. We didn't want her. And now here the fuck she is again. Bongino is the same kind of shit, but he failed at an even lower level. The people that knew him even more intimately said, not no, but fuck no. Four goddamn times, this guy doesn't belong on television. He doesn't belong speaking to anybody on any kind of authoritative level. He has no qualifications to do so. And now people are just willing to accept the narrative that the guy that they forced out somehow was just going to fucking suppress things and censor everything. That's what he wanted to do. Yeah, I'm sure Bongino's on the level about that. Get fucked with that bullshit.
You know, the interesting part about what you just said is the two people you mentioned on the right and the left, Kamala Harris and Dan Bongino, both failed upwards.
Yeah.
And that's what it is now, man. And it's you're choosing a side. It's who you want to hear from. And if you check the boxes on that side, congratulations, you're going to win.
Yeah, it's
stupid. And I look, for Bongino, to be full disclosure, I don't fault him. Fuck, if he couldn't make it, he did it on his own, and God bless the guy for doing so. Kamala Harris, you know, with her whole shit, I don't know how she was selected, to be honest with you. Like, the people have clearly chose Dan Bongino. I don't really listen to him. I see, you know, segments pop up here and there. But it's a podcast, not the Vice President of the United States. So, shit, man, it's just kind of where we're at in this country. But the sad thing is, you're going to go overseas if you can't do it here. And since, you know, the left controls all media, buckle the fuck up. This is what it's going to be, man. More and more shit's going to China, Al Jazeera, everything else. And then we're not only getting the news that we don't want, we're also going to get the news that they want us to listen to, because they're the ones cutting the checks at the end of the day.
Right. Yeah, the Qatari government has the Qatari government's best interest at heart. Not liberty, not the American people, for sure. So good luck. Good luck with that shit.
And if you look at it too, Dan, and not to fucking harp on this, but like everything that you and Hot Bob said about what that fucking country actually does, what they believe in, what they do to their fucking people on a regular basis, is the same thing that is going on China, which controls the left. So now you have two groups of shitty people controlling American media outlets, multiple at this point, that you're like, what?
Yeah.
What
the fuck is going on? I've said this before on American Party. I'm not sure if I've said it on Drinking Bros yet. I think I may have mentioned it on the show that that Hot Bob and I did last week. But if 10% of the Arab world hates the West and wants to go to war over it, and 10% or whatever percent it is of the West hates the Middle East or wants their resources and wants to go to war with them, my enemy is not the Middle East. My enemy is not people in America. My enemy are the 10% on both sides that are trying to get us into fucking prolonged, never-ending combat for no fucking reason other than either their own ego, trying to steal resources, or some fucking made-up sky daddy that they're fucking worshiping. Fuck those 20% of people on Earth. They are my enemy, right? Fucking Muhammad, who's trying to sell bread on the streets of fucking Iraq to feed his family, is not my goddamn enemy. You understand? And some Democratic fucking voter who wants reproductive rights and thinks that Trump's an asshole, that's not my enemy. My enemy are people who fucking infect politics with their bullshit. My enemy are people who fight against and not for liberty, period. I don't give a fuck what country you're from. Just because you're an American doesn't mean you're my fucking ally, motherfucker. Liberty is my ally. And if you're against it, I'm against you. The end.
Yeah, and, you know, this thing's going to go on or not go on television. We'll find out what happens with this Al Jazeera thing. But, you know, I look, being a fucking dude on the right here, there really isn't any outlets left. So it's not like I blame it. If you can't get it done in America, yes, you're going elsewhere. Same with Hollywood, man. The money was going to fucking China. All of the box office. We joked about it with Freddie Wong yesterday, with Matt Damon saving the Great Wall of China in that movie. It's like, hey, man, you're going to end up doing whatever they fucking want at the end of the day, because that's who's cutting the checks. But right. Ducks. The guys that are cutting the checks for us for this show to be on the air, ghostbed.com/drinking bros, 40% off the bundle package with the adjustable base and the mattress. You can bundle everything together. You can put pillows, sheets, everything with the adjustable base and the mattress and get 40% off right now. Or when you check out, you can get 30% off everything in the entire store. If you just want to buy a pillow, the pillow is the goddamn greatest, or some sheets or whatever, you get 30% off by typing in the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout, and that'll get you 30% off anything you want if you want things singularly on that site. Go to ghostbed.com/drinking bros today. Always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest there. And you can put that deal with the others, walk out of there with like $35 a month, dude, and a whole new fucking mattress set. Go to ghostbed.com/drinking bros today. Next up, Los Angeles and Minneapolis have buyer's remorse. After Minneapolis a few weeks ago announced that they're reversing some of the completely ridiculous new policies, such as defunding the police, Los Angeles is heading in the same direction. The Los Angeles City Council has now directed the police department to develop a plan to handle the uptick in crime as a result of the defund the police motion, which cost its budget $150 million last June. Violent crime increased dramatically in the city over 2020 from the previous year, with a significant upsurge in shootings and homicides, as well as other types of violent behavior. The councilman Paul Koretz said, "You don't say. For the first time since 2009, there were over 300 homicides in the city, and gun crimes were at levels not seen in years." After voting 12-2 to defund the police in June, the direction to make the police department come up with a plan to address the crime increase. Now, that won a 12-0 vote. So,
I mean, fuck, yeah. Man. It's like the most self-fulfilling prophecy of all time, right?
Ever.
We literally have aphorisms about this. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Like some of these phrases have been used for literally hundreds, maybe thousands of years, because they are timeless principles. They are timeless. If when you're cutting out necrotic cells, sometimes you have to cut some healthy tissue away, and that is collateral. Yes, it happens. But the fraction of police that behave inappropriately do not warrant a $150 million decrease, right? Or they certainly don't warrant what Minneapolis did. Now they're paying the fucking price for it. And to be honest, I can't believe any of the cops stayed. If I was an LAPD officer or an MSP officer, I would have left that area as soon as possible. Not everybody has that luxury. I don't want to go Gary Vee and tell people to quit their jobs out of principle, because that's fucking stupid. But man, I think you guys should fucking leave those areas. Fuck these people. They don't deserve you. The voters put them in. The people that voted for this absolute fucking retarded piece of shit that is the district attorney in Los Angeles, he is one of the biggest pieces of shit human beings in this entire country. He may as well go run for governor of New York. That's how bad he is. meanwhile, by the way, Berkeley, the dumbest city in the country by far. I've spent plenty of time there. They're the first city now. They've passed a bill now that says that cops will not be handling their traffic stops anymore. So guaranteed over the next year or two, there's going to be some fucking, because there's East Oakland still has a shitload of gangs, and there's going to be people driving fucking drugs through there, get pulled over by some fucking some hall monitor, and they're going to get lit the fuck up. And it sucks that that's going to happen. People are going to die because of this. And when they do, you have to ask yourself, what recourse do we have as a community, as a nation, against politicians who lie, against the media who lies, or against these small city people who, because of wokeness or whatever stupidity, they make fucking rules that end with people's deaths? What recourse do we have against them? Like, they just don't get reelected and they go on and live their rich lives after that? Is that really the fucking country we live in? No, there have to be consequences for actions. Otherwise, they keep happening. And yeah, right now, there are none.
There's none, man. And I've talked to three or four of my buddies who are LAPD, and I asked them sort of the same question that you were posing, you know, a minute ago, where I was like, hey, man, and it's all dudes, by the way, so that's why I said, hey, man. I go, why do you still work there at this point? And I'm the same way. Dude, don't quit your job. You got other shit. And most of them said the same thing. They're like, look, man, I'm not near retirement. I'm worried about trying to get another job during COVID. And then what city do you go to and all this stuff? So I'm going to ride it out for a couple years and see what happens. But all of them said the same thing of, it's not good. And they said, look, man, they've had, you know, internal meetings where they're saying, you know, look, if there's something questionable, go ahead and look the other way, because it's not worth it, and they're not on our side. So, you know, do what you can, but don't go out of your way to fucking.
No, I like that idea for cops. I think police should have some you know, levity, lenience, and some kind of leeway to make decisions. Like, if I'm a police officer and I see a 16-year-old and he grew up in a shitty area and he's got like a fucking gram of cocaine on him, do I want to fucking take that shit, And, well, I would just do it. But do I want to take that shit and throw it on the ground and stomp on it and tell him to get the fuck out of there? Or do I want to ruin this fucking poorly raised child's life forever? Like, what decision you're allowed to make there? And I think it has to extend beyond that. In the military, you have a duty to disobey unlawful orders. Now, the presumptive question is, what defines an unlawful order? The Constitution and the Bill of Rights do. So, for example, if some asshole passes, if Biden and his group of merry cunts decide to pass some kind of anti-2A legislation, then if you're a police officer out there and you start enforcing that, then you are now my enemy. That is just how it is, motherfucker. But forget about all that. You have a sworn duty to uphold the Constitution, not the president, not the presidency, not the Congress, none of that. Your fucking duty is to the Constitution, the end. And you have a duty to say no when that's happening. It's really that fucking simple.
Yeah, and there's some of the things, like you discussed, that I don't mind, man. If it's not killing anyone and, you know, somebody's just trying to get by on a day-to-day life, if they're not moving fucking serious weights, fuck it. You know, look the other way. Get the fuck out of there. You know, weed is already legal in California and shit like that. So it depends on what it is, but that's going to happen more and more. And you're right. The crime rate is going to continue to skyrocket. What'll end up happening is it'll eventually switch back to fucking Republican or something. I know they want to recall Gavin Newsom right now and they're close. They put him on the cover of there's a Los Angeles magazine that's been famous.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. It's like a really cute picture of him blowing a bubble or something.
Correct.
It's like, oh,
it's popped.
Is his bubble popped? Yeah. I'm like, oh, great pun, dude. You really fucking nailed it. Top-notch fucking journalism, LA. Get fucked, losers.
I don't mind a dad joke here and there, but I will say this for a left magazine that's going after their dude. You know, clearly they're unhappy, and over 1.5 million signatures have been submitted on this recall. So we'll see what goes down. I'm just not sure who that candidate is going against him. I know we talked about him a few weeks ago, but if you can't remember his name and he clearly doesn't have enough branding, I don't know if he'd even win a recall. So it's like, is it worth it at this point?
Well, I mean, look, it's almost become, we'll see if the leftist media trumps themselves again. What I mean by that is they hate this new person so much that they give him all the press, and then he develops name recognition and people associate him with politics where they wouldn't have before. It's the only reason Trump got elected in the first place.
Yeah, and the Minneapolis situation is going to get worse.
Oh, yeah, it's going to get way worse.
A lot worse. Because that trial is going to start probably in July over the summer for George Floyd. And there's going to be the argument that he OD'd on fentanyl and had a heart attack before he was choked out on the ground.
Yeah.
And that is going to get nasty.
Yeah, it's going to get reduced to manslaughter. Chances are he's going to get like a prison sentence of whatever and serve about 18 months of it. That's going to be probably the
5 years, probably serve 18 months. Yeah.
And it's going to be fucking bulls on parade up there in Minneapolis. Luckily, it's snowing, so there's only so much you can do. It's slippery out there.
But not when the trial is going on.
No,
that's
not in
the
June.
Problem.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, when it actually happens, the fucked up thing is, you know, when this was going on with the George Floyd thing, you know, all the people who were protesting said, I want the highest murder charges you can get.
Right.
Well, you gotta prove that, you know, he was intentionally doing it, which they don't really have.
No.
Even from the video, like, he's on his neck and it's fucking terrible, you know, for 9 minutes, obviously. But there was no intent of like, hey, I'm doing this to kill him and that's it, along with the other guys. So it's like you said, it'll probably get reduced. They'll probably get a lighter sentence like that. That won't be good enough for the people. And then they're going to burn down the fucking city again. And then it's defunded anyway. So good luck. You're fending for yourself at that point.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably going to declare a state of emergency before the trial even starts. That's what I heard from some people that work up there. I mean, the National Guard of Minneapolis or Minnesota will already be there protecting all sorts of stuff. There's a chance that federalized troops will be protecting federal buildings or agents from ICE or something like that, which is funny because when Donald Trump did that, It was it's so funny. When Trump was sending federal agents to protect federal buildings from getting burned down, that's racist and abuse of power. When the left brought the entire, like, 20,000 National Guardsmen to protect against 200 fucking dumb retard rednecks that stormed the Capitol, that's like an assault. It's assault on America, man. They're coming to get us. Shut the fuck up, turds. By the way, those child migrant camps, not only are they still open, they made more of them. Congratulations, Joe. Congratulations, liberals. You're full of fucking shit. Jesus Christ. Can we stop? I don't care about all that stuff, but can we stop pretending like the two sides are different, please? Thank you.
Yeah, there's no need for it. And, you know, we'll get to another one after the next ad. But I'm all hopped up on CardoMax today. Energy intensifier. Look, I say this all the time. I start with a little liquid IV in the morning, right? By the way, promo code DRINKINGBROS, 25% off at liquidiv.com. And then I switch over to CardoMax for the afternoon shift, and you can pour that into anything. So daddy's got a little bit of in my, because it's my birthday. I poured it in liquor. That's what I'm saying to you. This is one of those weird cans, by the way, that's it's actual vodka in a seltzer here, Dan.
Yeah, I saw those. Those are good.
So you put some CardoMax in this shit, you're ready to go. But in real life, though, you're taking CardoMax before the gym to get going. You will be fucking amped up. I'm not saying that that person at the top of the show is on CardoMax. Who knows? But I'm saying you feel like a superhuman, dude.
Yeah, it is really
CardoMax good, yeah. From CardoMax.com. That is CardoMax.com. My faves, my go-to. I've already got my go-tos there. It's watermelon. And then the blue raspberry is my fucking jam. So stop me. I like the sweeter flavors in life. I'm a little lady and I want to be treated as such.
Yeah. If they, I mean, it would be great if they came out with a fucking ribeye flavored energy drink, but I don't think it's going to happen.
You never know. You never know. They're friends with, Jason Murph. So who knows?
Yeah,
it's Sean Mattson's company. Use the promo code DB for buy one, get one, and you get a free bag for free. So pick whatever bag you want. And then order another flavor of it. And shit, man, you'll be good to go for like 2 months on that shit.
Yeah.
Because it's BOGO, dude. Buy one, get one free there with the promo code DB at CardoMax.com. Veteran-owned company. Navy SEAL. Sean Mattson, friend of the show. He's been on numerous times.
He was just hanging out with Chris Gronkowski yesterday, by the way.
Yes.
Another friend of the show. We have Chris Gronk coming back on, 2 weeks from now? Super fun guy.
Great guy. Great company. Go out and support CardoMax.com. CardoMax.com. Promo code DB. Buy one, get one, man. It's great. Next up. Sorry to all my Cuomo-sexuals out there. I feel like I always have to preface it with that. But apparently, the governor, Andrew Cuomo, has been sexually harassing his staffers like hotcakes for years and years. Multiple women, including Lindsay Boylan, who penned an open letter detailing her experience, have reported the governor's actions after years of alleged abuse. Cuomo apparently asked female staffers if they wanted to play strip poker, kiss them unexpectedly on the lips, and all sorts of other shit. I mean, can we really be surprised that a 65-year-old man with nipple rings who murders elderly people is a sexual deviant? No, we can't. This was the least shocking story I'd read this week.
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know if this is probably the least shocking. The second least shocking is now a bunch of Democratic Congress people want to remove the nuclear codes from Joe Biden. I don't know if you heard that or not.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Well, I mean, who knows, right?
Democrats?
Yeah.
Democrats want to do this?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that. I'm being totally truthful. I did not hear this.
I'll look it up during the next ad read and read some of it to you. So more in addition to this stuff, which should not be surprising to anybody, Letitia James, the New York State Attorney General, commented on and delivered even a report that shows Cuomo underreported his administration underreported COVID deaths in nursing homes by 50%. Right. So right. The Nashville mayor was hiding stats because he wanted people to stay inside, presumably because he thinks he knows better than everybody else. So if I can lie to them and keep them inside, it's for their own good. That is a fucked up way of thinking, but it's not evil. It's just stupid, all right? Lying about the fucking death you caused is evil. This guy needs to go to prison now.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he hasn't been removed already. I think this is a really tricky situation for the left, because you're not only taking out him, who is the governor of New York, which, let's face it, you know, New York and California are powerhouses, not only in the media, but in politics. But his brother, you know, Chris, is the top anchor over at CNN right now, highest paid. He's in that primetime slot that they reserve for Hannity over at Fox. He's the guy at CNN, and now he would be forced to report on his brother.
Right.
And I think they're trying to figure out what the fuck they're going to do, because, you know, Chris just re-upped his deal at $18 million a year, I think for 3 or 4 years over at CNN.
Right.
You can't avoid the negative press that it's going to be if your brother gets removed as governor of New York for hiding deaths from COVID after all your bullshit on CNN day in and day out was COVID, and we need to get Trump and get him out of there. He's not doing anything. Your brother actually murdered a bunch of people and got them killed, but you're not going to do anything or say anything. So this is going to be a real sticky situation. And I'm not sure how it's going to end up, to be honest with you.
Right. Yeah, it's. I mean, how it's going to end up is, I'm not. I don't know when he's up for re-election again, but he's certainly not going to win. I don't think he's eligible to run again, if I'm not mistaken. It's 2-term limit in New York, right, for governor, or is that just the New York City mayor? I actually don't know. But at any rate, certainly he's not going to get re-elected. And you have to ask yourself,
There's no limit.
There's no limit. Okay, so he's not going to get re-elected. But you have to ask yourself, when there's no. There's no provision like the 25th Amendment at the state level, so far as I know. There's recall elections in a lot of states, but that's a whole election process. You have to go through the phase of collecting signatures and then vetting signatures. Then you have to have a 3-month runoff, basically.
It's a long process.
It is a long process, 6 to 9 month process at minimum, if everything goes perfectly. So I don't know what that's going to look like. But what I do know is that if any other person were to do something like that, right, and get a bunch of people killed, they would at the very least lose their job immediately. But when they tried to cover it up later, that's when they go to prison, right? Just because you're an elected official, you're somehow immune from that. You should be held way more accountable if you're an elected official and you did that. You should go to jail even faster. This guy needs to be completely out of the political spectrum. No one is safe as long as he's making decisions up there. And speaking of not being safe, nearly three dozen Democratic lawmakers signed a letter that asked President Joe Biden to give up his sole authority to launch a nuclear strike. They said that vesting one person with this authority entails real risk. Past presidents have threatened to attack other countries with nuclear weapons or exhibited behavior that caused blah, blah, blah. Basically, because Biden's such a pussy, they're going to try to use this opportunity to pull his pants down and spank him a little bit, right?
The Democrats are?
Yes.
They want to take away the power from any president.
Yep.
Got it. And this is where I disagree, man. And I didn't like it when, you know, they tried to do this bullshit to Trump, and I don't like it with Biden either. That's the gig.
I mean, if the president can't handle the nuclear codes, remove him.
Yes.
Invoke the 25th and get him out. Right.
Yes.
I mean, it's that simple. If you can't be trusted not to annihilate the whole world, motherfucker, then you got to go. It doesn't. That's the solution. Right. You have a maniac running around and your solution is just to take his weapon away. He's got plenty of other fucking weapons, motherfucker. I mean,
yeah,
this is the dumbest shit of all time.
From what I recall reading when they were PMSing about Trump, for whatever reason, nuking someone between January 7th and January 20th.
Yeah.
There is. The military has long had what they call a madman contingency.
Yes. It's a two-man key system on every single nuclear action, right? So two people from the executive cabinet have to give the authorization for the nuclear strike. It has to be authorized by two people. The president, probably, unless he's incapacitated, but two people in the cabinet. They both have fucking sequence codes that they have to fucking tell the commander of the guard, and then two separate keys are turned at the same time to launch a nuke. It is not one motherfucker that's in charge of this shit. The premise doesn't make sense. All this is about is fucking power and control. It's always about power and control.
Yeah, and I didn't agree with it with Trump when they were going after him, and I don't agree with it with Biden. That's our president. Like it or not, that's our fucking president. And he might be fucking suffering from dementia, but I don't think he's a madman, and I don't think he's going to be, you know, blowing people up for no reason. So all of this is just overblown. And like for the who is it, 36 Democrats? The 36 Democrats did this?
It's 33, I think. I didn't look at the number, but I'm pretty sure. Or I didn't look at the number just now, but I'm pretty sure when I registered, it was 33.
Why do this? Because you and I brought this up with Adam Kinzinger on the right. You know, it's like, why go through the fucking trouble of doing this if it weren't just to gain media attention or some? I don't get it. Like, if you truly believed in this, you would have come out during the election cycle and said, hey, man, don't vote for this guy. He shouldn't be trusted with nuclear codes. Like, that's the time to speak up. Not now, after the motherfucker's president.
Yeah,
like,
it's dumb. It's all political theater is all it is. It's just nonsense.
But who's the audience? Who's the audience?
There is no audience anymore, Ross. The audience is the fucking mirror. These people are narcissists, right? They're staring at themselves in the mirror in an echo chamber. They're saying words, and the words are bouncing off the window and coming right back to them. They like the way their hair, face, and smile looks. Oh, we're doing the right thing for the people. But the people never really have anything to say about it. As a matter of fact, in these places where the defund the police movement happened, 83% of people responded that they want the same amount or more police in their area.
Right.
Right. Nobody fucking supported this stupid bullshit, and they did it anyways because it was the woke thing to do.
Well, speaking of the woke thing to do, our next story is almost, I mean, Jesus Christ. Coca-Cola, if you haven't heard, is asking all of their staff to be less white. You heard that right. Coca-Cola employees were urged to be less white as part of the company's alleged diversity training, but the material was yanked offline following a viral whistleblower post. Unfortunately for Coke, we already saw it on LinkedIn Learning. I don't have LinkedIn. Never been on it, not once in my life, but I read it a million times on Twitter, this shit, so that's how fast it gets out there. This stupid shit is nothing new, you know, as far as this critical race theory bullshit that's been going on, even in the Navy, right, Dan? They've been doing this shit in the Navy as well?
Yep, sure have. Sure
But it was the suggestions on what they were telling their coworkers to do to be less white that was so shocking that I was like, man, how is there not a lawsuit from all the white people working at Coke who actually had to sit there and watch this?
Well, there's certainly going to be. Unfortunately, so Coca-Cola has denied any of this shit, right? Unfortunately for them, we've already seen the screenshots on LinkedIn Learning before it was taken down. Yeah. And this, by the way, LinkedIn Learning is owned by Bill Gates, Microsoft. So, you know.
You don't say.
Yeah. Jack off into your own face when you get home, because that's the best thing you can do for your life. Just enjoy life is all I'm saying, because this is all bullshit. This is nothing new, though. We've seen it in the Navy before. here's one of the slides. This is a direct quote from one of the slides. In the U.S. and other Western nations, white people are socialized to feel that they are inherently superior because they are white. Now, I've never been taught that or heard that ever. As a matter of fact, my entire adult life, I've heard the exact opposite of that. At any rate, an internal whistleblower sent this, and then Carlin Borisenko, I don't know how you say that name. I'm guessing that's
Carlin, right. Yeah.
Or Carolyn, maybe. Maybe that's a weird way to say Carolyn. But anyways, posted the slides, and then the next slide suggests to quote-unquote try to be less white, with tips including be less oppressive. Well, what the fuck does that mean? Like, man, like when you wake up in the morning, you fucking take a shower, feed your kids, then you like put your clothes on, whatever the fuck, go to work, and you just show up. You're like, oh, I'm going to oppress somebody today. Who is it? Let's see. I mean, what the fuck does that even mean? Let's see what else.
No, the best one. So there was listen was one of them.
Yeah, believe.
So like I guess
break with white solidarity is one of them as well. That's my favorite. Like, I
white
have to,
people don't listen though, Dan.
I
is
guess
that what the thing is.
I didn't hear what you said because I wasn't listening.
Nailed it.
So Borisenko describes herself as a supporter of banning critical race theory and said the screenshots were sent to her from an internal whistleblower. She was also told that the course was required by Coca-Cola. The truly maddening thing about this isn't that companies are doing it, because you should expect these fucking bullshit companies to be doing this stuff. They are privatized echo chambers that are mired in safetyism and cover your ass bullshit. So of course they're gonna fucking fall down this well. It is up to people to stop them from doing it. But each time they get caught, usually they backpedal and shift the narrative. That's the thing that really drives me fucking crazy. If you really fucking believe this shit, then fucking do it out in the open, motherfucker. Speaking of that, San Francisco, that whole plan they had to rename all their schools.
Yeah.
It's done. They didn't do it.
The backlash was too severe.
Fucking
and
they
got rid of it. We talked about this on a fake news about 6 weeks ago. They got rid of that. But going back to this Coca-Cola thing, one of the key phrases was believe. So I guess, you know, white people don't believe in anything, which is far from the truth. I believed in Santa for years and years and years past, like, I mean, into adulthood almost, where I was like, oh, shit, I believe too much.
I believe in a thing called love. yeah, this
I believe
is,
in a thing called love.
This is just, I mean, it's, again, it's what you should expect out of these assholes. And, you know, it's clearly people value that kind of thinking to some degree, because enough, there's a critical mass of people that are championing it, that are making a lot of noise and getting it passed. The problem is that the silent majority cannot stay silent. It goes back to this: what we should really fear is when good men do nothing. Now that applies to protecting people from physical violence. It also applies to protecting them from stupid bullshit. And it's a good conversation to have, because stupid, bad information, misinformation, fake news, we have to protect against it. You don't protect against it by shutting it out. You don't protect against it by banning it or censoring it. You protect with better ideas, right? You protect with your time and your effort and communicating with other people, not launching lobbing fucking bombs on Facebook and shit, but talking face to face with other human beings and explaining to them in a polite manner why what they believe is nonsense. Right. And if you can't do that, right, if you don't have the courage to do it, if you can't find the words to do it, if you can't find the time to do it, then you're going to live in the world you've bought with your fucking complacency. The end.
Yeah. And, you know, with Coke, there'll be a massive lawsuit with this. You know, the white people who work for Coke will sue. Hopefully they get a fuck ton of money and then we don't have to go through this bullshit anymore. Because, man, I've fucking had it with all of it, to be honest with you. I mean, just believe, listen, break with white solidarity, be less white.
What is the white solidarity? Like, I've never,
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you this. One of my favorite things to do in the world is to make white people feel awkward. Right. And please don't overuse this. I'm going to give you guys a secret right now, and please don't overuse it, because it's one of my favorite things and I don't want it to become like a huge meme or anything. But use it from time to time because it's really funny. If somebody that you kind of know introduces a third party to you who is not in the room in any kind of way, whether they're trying to tell you about them or saying they're coming somewhere or I met this person, always ask if they were white, right? So
yeah.
So if Ross and I just met and he was like, oh, my other buddy Dave is coming over. I'm like, oh, is he white? And don't react to what they say. Like, just wait for the response and what it is. God, it is beautiful. It makes me so happy because if the, let's say they say, of course he's white. I'm like, what do you mean, of course? The fuck's that supposed to mean, right? So you can judge them either way they go and make them feel really awkward. And then always remind them at the end that you are kidding and that you don't really care. But I really enjoyed that. But anyways, there's no fucking white solidarity. What white solidarity?
I don't know, man.
We're the majority of the country, and the country wants to kill itself. Like, even old white Republicans didn't vote Republican because Donald Trump wouldn't shut the fuck up about old people. So where's the solidarity exactly? Like, what is it? I don't get it. I don't understand.
The other thing too is like, was Coke was there a lot of racism associated with Coca-Cola? Like,
well, polar bears, right? They didn't use black bears or grizzly bears. They used polar bears.
Whites, pure whites, yeah. Pristine polar bears. I could see if this came out of like Bojangles or something where it was like, hey, man, can we just be less white? But Coca-Cola, man.
Papa John's would probably be the biggest one for being less
white.
Let's be real.
Yes, Papa John's.
Yeah.
If you were saying, hey, man, we went through some bad shit with the Papa back in the day. Like, can we fucking be less white and be like, all right, yeah, I guess.
Or can we at least stop saying the N-word at board meetings? I mean,
yeah,
it feels like a pretty low bar, but we could do it. Come on, guys. Let's try to keep it under 30 N-words per month for the board meetings. Right, there's only one board meeting a month, so we should be able to do
it. And let's band together, dude, and put that on a LinkedIn thing.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know if you noticed, but I got a certificate of blackness from my fan page guy this morning.
Congratulations!
Really proud of that, guys. I'm officially black. Thank the Academy.
People.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's the at Dan Holloway fan page. It's one of my favorites. Yeah. Instagram.
It is really funny.
It's really fucking funny. By the way,
is it because you used to professionally do drive-bys?
No, it's because he called me the N-word in a rap song he wrote about me. So I guess that makes it okay.
And well, he's black too.
Yes, he is.
It also makes it okay. Yeah. But speaking of being less white, Dan, you can do that by learning a new language.
Yeah.
At babbel.com. That's BABBEL.com. I don't have my copy in front of me here today, Dan, because I'm riding solo with Jesse's computer. We're switching it up here. I gave her the 13-inch, by the way. It was just too tiny for me.
Are you talking about somebody else's dick? Because I've seen yours and it's not that big.
I just took a fucking glorious black and white dick pic today, by the way.
Let's see.
I'll send it to you.
Babbel, let me pull it up. All right, so babbel.com. I assume, I don't know the promo code. I think it's Drinkin' Bros, but I have the one for American Party here. It's American, so either way. You can use one of the promo codes. You get 3 months free. So the way they have it set up is immersion style. It's not like you're in high school and you're trying to conjugate verbs and learn all that nonsense again, because it doesn't work. I mean, it's how much of the language do any of you remember from high school that you learned? Probably zero, except for the Donde está la biblioteca, which became a meme after a while. But anyways, Babbel breaks it down into 15-minute segments, basically. So you can say, I have 15, 30, 45 or 60 minutes or however long a day to work on this, and you can commit to it and hold yourself accountable. And the modules are designed for that. They've got 14 different languages, all the major ones. They have speech recognition tech as well. So it's not just about how you understand and how you write. It's also about how you speak. Like, it has voice recognition, where if you mispronounce words when you're talking back to it, it will correct you in real time. Like, it's like having a teacher in your hand at all times. So right now, with the purchase of 3 month Babbel subscription, you get 3 additional months. It's 6 months for the price of 3. And just a reminder, Dakota and I are learning Spanish right now so that we can do an entire show in Spanish. So,
you know, it's funny. So Tom Segura does a show in Spanish as well. Promo code Drinkin' Bros.
Yeah, but his last name is Segura.
Yeah.
And mine is not, right?
It's not, no.
So
It's babbel.com/drinkin'bros. Okay. So go there, get 3 free months if you get 6, so you're good to go on that BABBEL.com/drinkin'bros.
It's a really good app. It's the best one I've used a couple of the other ones, and the lesson plans are kind of wonky in my opinion, and they're weird, and also the speech recognition does not work on the other ones. This is the first one I've ever used. Like, I've been, the first week I started doing it, I was intentionally mispronouncing things just to see what it would do, because that was the big bone to pick I had with the old apps. This one actually does it correctly, so it's going to help you learn the language.
Yeah, I agree. We were talking about NYC earlier. We'll talk about it now because, look, AMC was up today, and New York City movie theaters are opening for business after nearly a year of closures. New York City cinemas will be permitted to open on March 5th, Nippelring said, Cuomo. Movie theaters in the city will be allowed to operate at 25% capacity, consistent with pretty much all the other rules that are in place for the rest of New York State right now. The movie theater announcement follows a recent series of moves the governor has made over the past few weeks to reopen the state's economy. Large New York City arenas like Barclays, the Madison Square Garden, obviously, They're preparing to welcome back fans for the first time here beginning Tuesday. It's strange, man. You know, I can't figure out why or how it happened so quickly, Dan. But, you know, magically COVID went away and here we are. Right after January 20th.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, Fauci's on TV saying we're going to be wearing masks for the next year. And then most of the doctors who are putting out statements are saying that we're going to reach herd immunity by June, which is 77% infection rates. Now, there's going to be viral mutation, and we don't know what that's going to look like in year two necessarily. But because there were some early viral mutations, I think they have a pretty good handle on what it's going to look like. So there will be vaccines developed for that as well. There's also a lot of people who are dying from the vaccine, which is kind of weird. I guess it happens in clinical trials, which is basically what this is, which is why I'm not getting it, because I didn't volunteer to be involved in a fucking clinical trial. Sorry. I know how vaccines work, and it takes 5 to 10 years to get one approved. At any rate, Cuomo said last week that indoor family entertainment centers such as arcades, trampoline parks, laser tag, et cetera, could start reopening later in the month, March 26th. And outdoor amusement parks on April 9th. So they have a plan to reopen New York right now. Too little, too late. Obviously, all the rich people have already either left or made plans to leave. The housing market is going to crash. The commercial real estate market first will crash, right? All those office buildings are going to have to be turned into loft apartments, which is going to take time. It's going to take 6 to 18 months at a minimum to do that. Then there's going to be a fucking overabundance of new apartments and New York, where a lot of the top earners have already fled. So it's going to deflate the entire downtown real estate market. And sometime between probably 10 to 18 months from now, that real estate market is going to crash downtown in Manhattan, especially. And if you have money to invest in real estate, that would be the time to buy some of that shit up, if you have the ability to, because it's going to go way the fuck back up within the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, and look, AMC, their 13 locations in New York are going to be open. Diamond hands on that shit, because, you know, it'll come back. My honest opinion is I think Tom Cruise will end up saving the movie business with Top Gun. Paramount has already said we're not moving that to digital. That will be in theaters.
Right.
And I think by July, people will feel safe enough to go back. The problem with opening theaters right now is the movies that are out are already on Netflix. Yeah. So I'm not sure.
I mean, who's going to go pay to see fucking Wonder Woman 1984, which flopped, by the way, in a theater at this point, and pay $7 for a fucking small soda? Like, it's not going to happen, man.
Yeah, it's not going to happen right away. So I think it's going to take, again, my prediction is Tom Cruise, 4th of July,
yeah,
and all that other shit. The other thing with the AMC is now that New York has done it, L.A. will be next. Those are two of the biggest, you know, theater-going cities in the United States.
I don't know. L.A. is still pretty shut down. I mean, between Garcetti and fucking, what's his nuts, Newsom?
Gavin Newsom, yeah. They've been forced to open back up. So it's the same thing. Same thing that is going on in New York. This is the same thing that's going on in L.A. Magically, they're saying the deaths have been reduced there, and they're going to start opening back up. And they're expecting Los Angeles to make a decision to open up movie theaters this week.
Are they going
to following week.
Yeah.
Coming up.
Are they going to serve concessions? Because these, yes, like 16-year-old children, how well are they going to be obeying COVID laws, right? I mean, like, it's the question I'm asking is ridiculous, right? It's not meant to question if there's going to be super spreader events, because we already know that didn't happen. Bars and restaurants contributed 1.6% of COVID cases. So the reason I said that is to make fun of this shit. Obviously, it was never about public health.
Right.
There's no fucking way it was, because nothing they've done made any kind of sense at all.
Yeah. And, you know, fuck, man, as far as like opening up all this shit, like I'm in North Carolina right now. They're tonight's actually, ironically, on my birthday. They're going to go to the next phase and let you to allow you to be in restaurants till 11 p.m. Last call is at 10 p.m. And, you know, hour by hour, we're going to start to get back to normal magically, because everything changed on January 20th. But I thought the same thing when I came in the first night. I went to Jersey Mike's by my house here, and I walked in. There was three white 16-year-old girls that were, you know, giggling, making sandwiches, no mask on or whatever. Not one fucking time, Dan, did I think about, I wonder if they all have COVID and they're going to give it to me through my sandwiches.
Yeah, anything I mean, about look, that shit at all. It's, you know, whatever. I don't care. I don't care about getting COVID or anything like that.
I don't either. And that's the thing is, like, dude, it at this point, you know, with the vaccinations coming out, because, look, there is a hot Bob. You can check this number. But as of 3 weeks ago, I believe 45 million people had already been vaccinated. I don't know what it's up to now.
Joe Biden actually just marked the 50 millionth vaccination today, I believe.
Great. So approximately 1/6 of the country has been vaccinated. And then Cuomo has killed the other, you know, at least 1/6 of the population in New York. Right. So I think you're good there. Yes, you're right, Dan. We're getting closer to herd immunity. You know, with the Fauci bullshit, somebody shut this guy the fuck up and get him off the stage.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even about what he's saying. It's that he's saying different things on every single day, and he's contradicting himself. That's not, you can't do that. Like, I understand that science is a product. Like, the idea that there's a scientific fact is an absolute absurdity. We thought that the speed of light was a scientific fact for a long time. Then we discovered inflation. We discovered neutrinos. We know it's just not true. It applies to mass, sure, but it doesn't apply to everything. At any rate, the idea that the data collected doesn't change the scientific output is going to be, that's a stupid way to believe. But having a guy, a weak ass little bitch like Fauci on screen every day being like, well, I mean, masks don't really work. And then 2 weeks later, like, you have to wear a mask or you'll die. You can't fucking gaslight people like that. You can't cry wolf, because then they're not going to take your actual advice seriously. That guy's got to get the fuck out of there. Now, the other thing is, and the reason that the AMC stock is up today again, at some point earlier today, it hit its highest level since the beginning of February, is because the CEO of AMC said in a statement that all 13 of its New York City theaters are going to open back up, which means stay diamond hands on that stock if you still have it. Also, when the box office starts opening back up in China, remember that China owns AMC 1 and 2, has a fucking shit ton of theaters over there. That's where we make our real money in Hollywood these days. So this AMC stock
is where Top Gun 2 is going to make a lot of money as well, man.
You're going to see a run on AMC in spurts throughout March here and there. It'll probably go up to 11 or 12 and kind of hang out there for a while. And then when Top Gun comes out on July 4th, it's probably going to spike for at least a little bit until they get some returns back and see if it flops or not.
If you looked at the stock this week, right, it spiked on the numbers from the box office last weekend. And they were shocked when the quarterly reports came in. They were like, ah, shit, it wasn't as bad as I thought. Yeah. And that's with, like, rerun movies in the theaters, essentially, that are already on Netflix and everywhere else. So, yeah, I think it'll pop back to life. It's going to be slow. It's something to hold on to for a while. And the other one that is out there behind the scenes is there's a rumor that Amazon is trying to buy out AMC. So that way they can have not only theatrical control, but then also take those movies to digital afterwards. So that's something to look out for as well.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of Amazon, did you see Elon Musk's comments the other day? Somebody from the Washington Post was trying to ask him some questions and he was getting annoyed and he was just like, go back to your fucking overlord and tell him to get fucked or whatever. Obviously talking
he's
about
the
Bezos.
Best. Musk is the best.
Yeah, he's
pretty the bad. Other thing that could save the theaters too is in those concessions, most theaters have moved to beer and wine. So if you're an adult taking your kid to a cartoon movie, Jesse and I do it all the time, get a couple glasses of wine while we're there. The kids get the popcorn. So that's going to be boosted in every single theater here very, very soon, if it's not already in yours. And then the dine-in theaters as well are a blast. And you can just get rocked in those lounge chairs and enjoy it. And I bet you a lot of the wine is from firstleaf.com. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/drinkingbros today and get 6 bottles of wine for $29.95 and free shipping. You heard that correctly. That is tryfirstleaf.com/drinkingbros, and you get 6 bottles for $29.95 and free shipping. Nobody does this, and all of their wines are fucking delightful. Jesus Christ, I've been on this club for, I don't know, 7 months now at this point. And I'm doubling down. If you want to skip a month, because I had to go online and say, hey, man, I'm, you know, going back and forth between North Carolina and Texas while the house gets fixed. They're like, great, we'll just pause it for you, which is rad. So I didn't even get charged for this month. So I was like, hey, I won't be there to get it. So you can do that anytime as well. There's a reason why they're the America's number one wine club, you know, as far as shipping to your house and all that shit. You go on and take a little quiz. It checks your palates, and then you can check the ones you like, and then the ones you don't like, you can say, don't give me that again.
Right.
Really, and it's well. The best. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/drinkingbros today. 6 bottles, $29.95, free shipping. That's it. No strings attached on that shit, dude. It's the best. Next up, did the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia have a journalist assassinated? The two private jets used by Saudi Arabian assassination squad that killed and allegedly dismembered journalist Khashoggi, as I like to call him, Jamal Khashoggi, were owned by a company that less than a year prior had been seized by the kingdom's powerful crown prince, Mohammed bin Salam. According to, is it Salman? I always feel weird.
I think it's pronounced Salman, but whatever, who cares?
You know how many times I've heard it pronounced Salman out at a cheesecake factory?
Oh, that's just white trash people, though.
Ah, gotcha, yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, this doesn't surprise me at all, man.
No, this guy's been bouncing around the Middle East for a while. He even lived in the U.S. for a while because he was afraid of the Saudi government was coming after him. You might remember the guy from he's the one that did those interviews with bin Laden back in the day, right? So he went out into the fucking middle of Afghanistan with the Mujahideen and was doing – this is when bin Laden was technically still on the side of the U.S. and then after he was not on the side of the U.S. He said he feared for his safety from the Saudi Arabian government. And he went to a Saudi Arabian consulate in Istanbul on October 2nd of 2018 to get documents so he could marry his fiancée, and he was never seen alive again. He was found later beheaded and dismembered.
Yeah, that was a nasty one, wasn't it? Yeah. There's a doc about him too. That was just straight up torture for what? Was it 8 minutes or something like that, Dan?
I don't know,
fucking gnarly, dude.
Yeah.
And because they have the audio. I listened to the audio. Did you listen to the audio of that?
No. No, I haven't seen it.
It's brutal.
No,
he's screaming, obviously. They're dismembering him, torturing him, blah, blah, blah. And the doctor is with another dude who's clearly freaked out. And he's like, hey, man, you might want to put your headphones on and listen to some music. That's what I always do when I do this shit.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I can't hear these fucking people scream.
Yep.
And he just said it so matter-of-factly that you're like, oh, fuck. Like, you've done this hundreds of times.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this isn't shocking.
Yeah, no, the documents that have been leaked came out as part of a Canadian civil suit from earlier in the year. They're labeled top secret and signed by a Saudi minister who reports directly to the Crown Prince. So the equipment used to kidnap the dude, the fucking person that was in charge of the operation, both report are owned by or report directly to the Crown Prince. He 100% is responsible for this.
Yes.
According to this is a quote that the minister that reported to him had written down. According to the instruction of His Highness the Crown Prince, immediately approve the completion of the necessary procedures for this. And that's in relation to the kidnapping and assassination of this man. So if you're interested in the type of people that we, the U.S., send billions to for military support and a country we've long and incorrectly considered an ally are, I recommend looking into this. Fans of the show will remember in the summer of 2020, before we moved out here to Austin, Hamidi Jassim suggested that the new regime there, the Crown Prince, was moving in the right direction. I'm sorry to say he was clearly wrong about that. This guy is a piece of fucking shit. He's a murdering fucking fascist piece of shit that still lets 83% of the primary education facilities in his country be madrasas, which teach death to America. Meanwhile, we send these people fucking billions of dollars. What we should send them is a crisp, clean fuck you, right? Deal with your own problems. Get fucked. This is why we have to get away from this foreign oil. The only power that Saudi Arabia has is their position inside of OPEC. They can get fucked. They home of 15 of the 19 goddamn hijackers from 9/11. Fuck these people.
Yeah. And look, this is only going to continue. Trump was in during this one, and they knew it was the Crown Prince, right? They knew it was the direction of the Crown Prince. But what were you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, were they going to fucking nuke him? No, there's no way the king would allow it. So therefore, you had to look the other way and say, well, fuck it, man. It is what it is.
You don't have to look the other way, though, because during the Bush administration, we had the opportunity to cut off OPEC and open up the fucking oil reserves here in the U.S. and completely separate ourselves from the Middle Eastern oil issue, right? We had the opportunity to do that. Dick Cheney said no. We have to save that for a rainy day. Bitch, it's a rainy day. We've been at war for 20 fucking years with these people. The rainy day has come and gone. Now we're in the middle of a hurricane, and your dumb ass is still getting fucking rich from the profits while American soldiers and fucking civilians are dying. Get fucked.
But nobody wanted to do anything about the Iran guy either, who they fucking blew up. Soleimani.
Yeah.
So, look, this shit has been this fucking tit for tit. Until we get off the Middle Eastern tit for fucking oil and whatever minerals that we depend on over here, this shit's going to continue because they have billions of fucking dollars. And at the end of the day, money talks. This fucking crown prince wasn't happy that Khashoggi's fucking wrote negative coverage about him in their bullshit newspaper over there. And, you know, that's what they do over there. I'm not surprised by any of this. Like zero, none of this I'm surprised about. And all of those documentaries and all those guys had this one right. So, yeah. Last but not least here today, kids, did the Biden administration cancel an ICE program aimed at deporting sexual predators? Operation Talon, a nationwide operation to remove convicted sex offenders who are in the country illegally, has been canceled by ICE, the enforcement arm of America's immigration system. Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost and others are demanding that President Joe Biden and Immigration and Customs Enforcement reinstate the program, which Trump began on his way out of office. Yost, along with the attorney generals from Arizona, North Dakota, Wyoming, sent President Biden a letter calling for reinstatement of the program following news reports that the operation had been terminated.
Yeah, so Hot Bob, if you can go ahead and type, just bring up, pull Ross off the screen and bring up a web browser and type in Operation Talon into Google and see what pops up. It's just going to be local news, not one fucking... T-A-L-O-N.
T-A-L-O-N, yeah.
Yeah, so not one fucking, as of this morning at least, not one major news organization was, except for Snopes, the very first thing. Are you fucking kidding me? So look down the list. Scroll down the list. Forget about that Snopes thing for now. Look down the list. Not one major news organization has covered this except for PolitiFact right there, and then Snopes at the top saying it's not true. Motherfucker, it's true. Here's their basis for saying it's not true. And you can see their ham-handed defense of Biden and trying to lay the blame back on ICE, who are fucking political appointees. Snopes' response to quote-unquote what's false about the Biden claim right there in the middle of the page is that the Biden administration had nothing to, quote, nothing to do with this decision. According to the ICE official that he spoke to, HSI, Homeland Security Investigations, Division of ICE, still investigates, blah, blah, blah. How can the Biden administration not have anything to do with the fucking branch of government they oversee? I don't know if you guys understand civics or how things work here in America, you stupid motherfuckers, but the president not only sets the fucking the tone for the executive branch, he can control the individual mechanisms of enforcement and what does and does not get enforced. Okay, that is his job to do that. So if he doesn't know about it, he's incompetent. So the options are he is incompetent, retarded, doesn't know about it, or he fucking took this program out of service that was meant to fucking get pedophiles the fuck out of our goddamn country.
Look, I again, another story that is unbelievably unsurprising to me, because it's not. If you want to come in and terminate all the things that Trump did, right? And in my eyes, this was a great thing that he did. You can't go back on any of it. You know, he ran off. This is what Biden ran off of. Kids in cages, immigration, pictures of AOC, you know, maybe at the border, probably green screened, whatever. Right. They're going to have to lump in all of ICE with all of this shit. And that's it. So he's not going to be able to just pick and choose one thing here and there. He's got to do what he ran on. And this is why. And I fucking hate shit like this.
Well, I mean, I also want to add some details for nuance so you don't go out into the fucking ether and make some really stupid arguments. So Trump did this on his way out of office, meaning this was probably floating around circles in Washington for a while. And on his way out of office, it is typical for a president to say, hey, what stuff didn't get done that we can just get done right now before we leave? That's typical to do. The other thing is a lot of people are using fucking completely hyperbolic language, saying hundreds of pedophiles have been deported using this. And now it's gone. There's no record of anybody being deported on this because it just came up like a fucking month ago. Okay. So you fucking do some research, figure out what the truth is and argue from the point of facts. The first time you bring up something in your argument that's not true and somebody figures out it's not true, the presumption from the onlooking audience, who are the people you're trying to convince to get on your side so you can fight this shit, are going to think all of your fucking statement is false. Do some research. Use the Socratic method. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah. Same. But it's crazy that you pull that up on Google and you find nothing. I mean, we are literally controlled by big tech and the government here. Now is the point in the show we get to the Drinking Bro of the Week. You could submit all your Drinking Bro of the Weeks to us. It goes live to us in our email. We just open it up as it is. Go to drinkingbros.com. We also got some butter soft teas in there. And I know we keep saying new merch is coming. I don't know if it's coming.
It is. I did the final stuff today. I sent it over today. The woman that processes all of it into the system is out of town today, but she's going to be back at the end of the week, and she's going to all it is details behind the scenes, which patterns go on which color shirts. That's it. Okay. So all she has to do is upload these things, and then it's done.
Do it, lady. Do it.
Yeah.
Whenever you submit on drinkingbros.com, the Drinking Bro of the Week, it comes to us. We read it live on air, and let's see who it is today. Drinking Bro of the Week is Richard Marks from California. Oh fuck. I don't know if this is real or not, but if it is, well played, Richard Marks. He says, member of Drinking Bros since last week, is nominating Auntie Patterson. Reason for the nomination, I'd like to nominate Ross's aunt. Ross, I'm sorry for calling her a liar. She was the best 30 seconds my 4 inches has ever had, and truly the best dollop on my daisy. Much love, rock on.
Okay.
... Hombre.
I'm gonna go ahead and go out on a limb and say that wasn't the Richard Marks.
I don't know. No. And I'll tell you why. This is very specific to the tweets. And the best dollop on my daisy is obviously a nod to his wife. So here's what I was told later on about this fucking Richard Marks saga that keeps going on, that I find it hilarious. I don't know if he does, to be honest with you, and I don't care. But I heard he is kind of slyly funny, which is why he built this huge Twitter following after like being famous in the 80s. Because that's always weird to me where – you remember Rex Chapman, Dan?
Yeah, Rex Chapman. Who's Rex Chapman?
He played for like the Hornets and all that other shit.
Basketball player turned like viral video guy.
Correct.
Yes. No.
On Twitter, and he has like a gajillion followers, right?
I don't know. I don't have Twitter. And
he does, yeah.
Because
he just posts whatever's happening that day. He just rips videos and he posts it on his own feed. And he gets all the retweets.
I'm currently blocked by him, Rex Chapman. Big shock, obviously. But, you know, he was doing these fun, flirty videos where he was reposting things. And I saw that he had a bunch of followers. And I was like, hey, man, is that the white guy who played for, like, the Charlotte Hornets? And sure enough, it was. He ended up getting, like, addicted to drugs and was on the streets or whatever. And now he is an announcer. But he built this huge Twitter following by – yeah, just ripping other people's videos and putting them up and everything else. Problem was, he got super political around the election. And I said, hey, Rex, you're probably not the best guy to do this. Like, you know, with the amount of drugs you've done, it's hard for me to take you seriously when you're saying things about politics. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really
follow. Well, I take offense to that because I do drugs every single day.
And Dan, I I'm not voting on anyone you tell me to vote on. Like, I'm my own human, and I don't need to hear it from anyone.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Same with Rex Chapman, right? And Rexy, Sexy Rexy, ended up blocking me, and I come to find out it's exactly what Paper Hands Dan said over there, where he said, you know, everybody was on this guy's fucking dick for ripping these videos and putting it up, and he gained this following. Richard Marks, I heard, is kind of the same way, where he just posts like snarky shit all the time. I'm not going to put this out of the realm of possibility for old Dick Marks.
No, it definitely was not him. But
if it is, in case it is, it's really funny and well played.
No, that's to your
way. It's well played by the audience.
To your point, I talked to two separate people in the music industry that every person would recognize. One on the administrative side, one that's actually a musician, and both of them said that he's actually a really cool and funny guy. But he's all of a sudden here lately got kind of wonky with the fucking anti-Trump shit. But for the most part that they've known him back in the day, he's been really fucking weird and funny and likes to troll people and shit like that. So I could, he definitely didn't write this Drinking Bro of the Week. That's retarded. But I could see him, like, honestly, I think he'd probably come on the show and talk shit with us.
Here's the deal.
From what I've heard, yeah. I think there's a possibility at least that he would do that, just to be fair.
So here's the deal, man. I know he's got a book coming out in June. The inside secret to book sales and all this shit is podcasts. It truly is, because most people that listen to podcasts, besides this show, obviously, are pretty intelligent. Yeah. And because we're fucking idiots, so most of our fans are probably too. But it's great for book sales to go on podcasts because it's more personable, right? You're not sitting on Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel for 8 minutes in a scripted segment and it's all bullshit. Richard Marks, I would be happy to have you and your lovely wife on the show to promote your book. It's a biography about his life, and it comes out in June.
Yeah.
Dan and I are not closed-minded assholes. Like, we don't give a shit.
No, I'm very open-minded. As a matter of fact, I'm so open-minded that while you were entertaining Richard Marks, I'll be telling his wife what a real man looks like, right? Which is not like Richard Marks, by the way, if you were curious.
She could say, hey, man.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna change it. Like, when they show up into the parking lot, I'll be outside changing a tire. Then when they come in here, I'll be inside, like, fucking field dressing an animal or something like that. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Either way, know that I don't really care about Twitter. I take it all in jest. And if this is real, it's real. If it's not from a listener, it's still fucking hilarious. And Richard Marks and his wife are more than welcome to come on the show. And Richard, you can promote your book, and we'll have a genuine conversation about your life. Politics or no politics, Dan and I really don't give a fuck.
No, we don't care.
No. But for the rest of you dummies, go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star, and leave a quick review. That helps keep us on the top of the charts. It's not how many listeners. It is simply those reviews. And that way, one day, we can be as rich as Dick Marks himself. And then we don't have to care about life, and we can just live on Twitter all day and bash political figures.
Yeah, and somebody's aunt can suck my dick.
Yeah.
Which would be shit. Nice. I mean, that'd be great. That'd be awfully nice of her. Sure as shit wouldn't be talking trash about her 30 years later. I would be like, hey, no, she was a great woman. Soft tongue.
Yeah.
Someone's aunt definitely sucked your dick.
Oh, yeah. So. Definitely. Yeah. Several aunts have had my penis in their mouth for sure, right? You would think so. I don't really keep up with their family trees or anything, but I would assume some of them are aunts.
Yeah, I think Dave Matthews wrote that song about you, Ants Marching.
Yeah.
That was about all the women who have sucked your dick, ants around the world. But yeah, thanks for joining us. Go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star, and leave a quick review. And then Patreon. We got a Patreon up. We're doing a fuck ton of extra shows on that thing per week that are super aggressive. Dan just dropped his Kill playlist this week. Which is fucking awesome. That's a great episode. I dropped a fucking solo show last night, which is out of control. I claim that Tiger Woods is dead. I have no proof that he's alive, so who knows on that one. And then Friday night is the Friday Night Jack Sesh with Jack Mandeville and Giorgio. That is one of my very favorite shows on this planet, and it's like, I don't know, $5 a month or whatever. But there's a ton of crazy comment on there. Shit, I went back to The New Guy, too, and did that whole movie. And talked about that. I haven't seen it in like 15 years. And that's on there. We've got a bunch of shit on there. So go there. It's just shit we can't get away with on YouTube, to be honest with you.
Right.
So go there and check it out. It's $1 to $5. Audio is $1. Video and audio is $5. And enjoy it. Once we get merch in the stores, we'll have some exclusive offers there as well. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is Drinking Bros Fake News. Good night, everyone.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility, to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.